Good evening and welcome to our Blue Christmas service. Thank you, Evelyn, for playing this evening and leading in so wonderfully. The service will be up on the screen and we will be following along. There will be opportunity for words of response throughout, and you will be invited to come to the front towards the end. If you haven't brought a candle with you, we've got a few at the front and we will make use of those. Let us join in our call to worship. It is responsive. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. In him was life, and that life was the light of all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never been able to extinguish it. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. The Lord will always be with you to save you. God's presence will protect us on every side. When you call, the Lord will answer. When we call for help, God will say, "I am here." Let us join together and sing our first hymn, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. Our loving, holy God, it is into your presence that we gather this evening, to bow ourselves before you, to acknowledge you as Lord of all, to acknowledge you as our Creator, and in Jesus Christ as our Savior, and as your Holy Spirit, our Sanctifier. We worship you, Father, Son, and Spirit, for all you are and all that you have done for us. Bless us even now with your grace. Bless us with your mercy, for we confess to you that we are sinful people, that we do not always love you with everything we are. We do not always love our neighbors as ourselves. In Jesus, forgive us. In Jesus, make us new. In Jesus, heal us, that we should trust you and follow you all the days of our lives. Our God, we pray this in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading this evening is from Psalm 126. Let us hear God's word. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pretty much all of us this evening had to travel a little bit to get here. It may have been just across the street or down the road, or it may be across town. We may have had a longer commute than some others. But whether we walked or took transit or we drove, we experienced things along the way. On the sidewalks, we would experience other people. On the buses, we would experience other passengers. On the roads as we drove, we would experience other drivers. We tend to discount commutes as journeys. A commute is something that we must do. It gets us from where we are to where we have to be. A commute is something that we endure. We don't think of commutes as journeys in which we experience new things, in which we learn, in which we grow as people. Journeys are for holidays and for vacations, where everything is geared towards the experiences we have while we're away from home. We plan journeys to maximize our time and our enjoyment of what happens. And we remember journeys for years, and we reflect on what we experienced. Journeys can be difficult, but because of the intentionality of a journey, we tend to look at and celebrate the high points, the good memories that we have. Life is a journey. But sometimes life feels a little more like a series of bad commutes. Nothing particularly memorable. Just a number of bad things that have happened one after another. Things not to enjoy, but to endure. The Christmas story is full of journeys, and not all of them good. there was the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, where Mary and Joseph had to go. And they had to because it was a command of the Roman emperor. The occupying nation commanded them to take a journey when Mary was advanced in pregnancy. Birth is a journey. It's a journey for the mom. It's a journey for the infant. The shepherds journeyed in from the fields into Bethlehem to the stable. And later on, a fair amount later on, the Magi journeyed a great distance. They journeyed to come and see Jesus. And shortly after that journey, Mary and Joseph and Jesus made another journey as they escaped for their lives because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. The Christmas story is full of journeying. We read from Psalm 126, which is not a Christmas passage. You didn't miss something as you heard it. But it is about a journey. It has a past, a present, and a future. It opens with the past. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. These verses look back to the time when God had rescued his people from Babylon, had restored them from Babylon, and the exiles returned back home again. It says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. Restore fortunes is not about money. It's an idiom that means a complete reversal of experience, a radical change of what is happening, a total turnaround of reality. And God had totally and completely turned things around in the past by bringing his people back home again from exile, and it was a joy. So the people of the psalmist's day looked back and remembered the joy. It was a remembered joy. The people looking back to the time when God had turned things around and saved his people. There's also a future involved in this psalm. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with cries of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. The people hope for a future that resembled the past, a future that had the same joy that the past held for them. But they lived in their present. And their present said, restore our fortunes, O Lord. The thing was, their present didn't have any of the joy that they saw in the past or hoped for the future. Their journey in the past became a joy in the Lord. They hoped for joy in the future, but their present had the opposite. Their present was full of tears and weeping. Their present was full of loss, full of fear, full of anxiety, full of distress. Their present journey was like a series of bad commutes. But their faith was in the God who could restore their fortunes, who could completely reverse their experiences and circumstances, who could bring radical change to their lives. And the really important part of that is that the joy the people experienced, the joy they hoped for again, came from God alone. It was God who had restored their fortunes. It was God who had turned things around for them. It was God who had brought radical change, and it was God who gave them joy. And it is the same God who came to us in Jesus at Christmas, and who offered himself in sacrifice on the cross, who rose again from the dead, the greatest turnaround the world has ever known, death into life. Life is a journey that sometimes feels like a series of bad commutes. Loss of someone we love to death. Loss of someone through broken relationship. Loss of health of ourselves or someone we love. Loss of a job. Loss of community. Loss just because of separation, because of circumstances. But God can restore our fortunes. It's not about money. God can bring change and turn things around. He can change our journey because he can turn death into life. That doesn't bring back the ones we've loved who we have lost. But it does give us hope for a future that the Lord has in store for us. We are changed by our journeys. Every experience we have alters us in some way. And in some things we bear deep scars and we hold deep pain. But God brings his transforming hope to our lives. And in the Lord we will meet those we have lost once again. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Let us pray together. Our God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that you are with us and you can and do restore our fortunes. You can and do turn things around in our lives. We gather before you acknowledging the loss, the pain, the distress that we have experienced, that we are experiencing. And we seek your hope. We seek your grace in Jesus. We seek your healing. And we seek the life journey that you have for us. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus. Amen. Let us sing together our next hymn, "Into the Darkness." We will now have our candle lighting liturgy, and there will be words for us to follow along with.
For the first candle, I'm reading from Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was ever the surface of the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was great, was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Anyone follows me." We light this candle to remember those persons who have been loved and lost. We pause to remember their names, their faces, their voices, the memory that binds them to us this season that anticipates Christ.
May God's eternal love surround them.
I'm reading from Isaiah 42, verses 5 to 9. This is what God, the Lord, says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and the new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of the world." We light this second candle to redeem the pain and loss, the loss of relationships, the loss of health, the loss of jobs, and the loss of financial security. As we gather up the pain of the past, we offer it to you, O God, asking that into our welcome hearts and open hands you place the gift of peace.
Refresh, restore, renew us, O God, and lead us into your future.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautiful dressed for her husband. And I heard it with a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne saw, said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." We light the third candle to remember ourselves at Christmas time. We pause and remember the past weeks, months, and for some of us, years of downtimes. We remember with poignancy of memories the grief, the sadness, the hurts, and the pain of reflecting on our own mortality. Let us remember that dawn defeats darkness.
The reading is John 1, verses 1 to 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We light this fourth candle to remember our faith and the gift of hope that God offers to us in the Christmas story. We remember that God, who shares our life, promises us a place and time of no more pain and suffering.
Let us remember the one who is the way, and who goes with us into our tomorrows.
I would invite you to come forward now with your candle. If you don't have one, there are some up at the front. And come forward and light your candle off of one of the candles at the front, and we will spend a few moments in prayer together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for those we love and who loved us. We are grateful that they were part of our lives. We pray that nothing good in their lives will be lost, but will be of benefit to the world, that all that was important to them will be honored by those who follow. We thank you for the friendship they gave and for the strength and peace they brought. We thank you for the love they offered and received in life. Let us continue to pray. We thank you that in Christ we are forgiven for those times when we failed those we love in word and by our actions. We ask for healing of those deep wounds, for the times when our trust was betrayed, or when we felt abandoned or were angry. We ask that through our family and friends, through our hearts and our minds, in our courage and our consciousness, that which needs to be set aside, forgiven and forgotten, can be released and redeemed by your grace. Let us continue to pray together. We pray for ourselves who are tested by sorrow and the changes that have happened in our lives, that we do not try to minimize our loss or seek refuge from it in words alone, nor brood over it so that it overwhelms us and isolates us from each other. God, grant us courage and confidence in the new life that you have promised. Let us continue to pray together. We ask these prayers in the name of the risen Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us sing together, Silent Night. The light has splintered the darkness. Hope is ours once more. The light calls us forward. We remember the past and walk confidently into the future. Go from this place filled with peace and love, God's gift to us all. Amen.